The Old Testament lesson today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 to 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried in their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to be shepherd of my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child and Mary with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It is good to be with you this morning. I appreciate this opportunity to present to you the word of God in a way that hopefully we can understand and be motivated and challenged to continue our life and our walk with Jesus Christ. When Carol first asked me if I would help and fill the pulpit, my initial reaction was, "No, I don't want to do that." She was persistent. But I did tell her, I said, "The last time I preached, and about the only time I really do preach, is when I go to India." And of course, I never have a choice. They say, "You're going to preach today." I have a translator. And so I speak, and then someone translates. I told Carol, if I get stuck, she's going to have to come up and translate for me. Maybe you'd understand it better if she was doing that for us this morning. But it is a joy to be able to share the Word of God and to be able to express His Word in a way that we can be challenged to continue our walk with Him and be able to serve in a way that we are renewed in spirit as well as in body. The thing, how many people are aware of what the Powerball is? Is everybody, I mean, I don't know, if we have not heard of the Powerball, we probably live in a closet and we don't have a TV. But it's interesting how we so often will hear about the Powerball when it gets in multi-millions or billions of dollars, and then it's on the news. They always are tracking how much more is added and who's going to be the winner. And of course, we're all curious, and I'm not speaking pro or con. I mean, everybody has their own opinion and ideas, and that's fine. When the Powerball gets up close to a billion, my wife will always go buy one ticket. She says, somebody's got to win. She'll ask me to go, and I says, nope, I'm not going to touch it. Everybody has their own views on what that is, and that's fine. Now, I'm not going to be speaking about the Powerball, but I want you to keep that in the back of your mind, because I am going to refer to it later on and give a challenge, hopefully, that will motivate us through this new year of 2026. That's kind of hard for me to say. I mean, I'm not used to that yet. I'm sure none of us are. Luckily, we don't, or at least I don't write checks anymore. I can remember the change of the year. It'd take me almost a month to 2 months before I changed the date from the next year when I was writing a check. Well, that's not a problem like it used to be. But, you know, we all have to make changes and adapt in certain ways. And as we do that, we are challenged. At least I am. And I'm finding out the older that I get, the more challenged I become, because it's not as easy to make those changes and those adapt to what is around me. But one of the traditions that is associated with the New Year's observance is our resolutions. How many made a resolution this year? Anybody make a New Year's resolution? Okay, that is probably something that the younger generation may adapt to more than what we do. But, you know, when we make a resolution, it's promising to stop or start something new in the new year. A New Year's resolution is a personal expression of a will or an intent we especially may have to a goal that we want to seek through the new year. It's an act of finding an answer or solution to a conflict, a problem. It becomes a vow to some. So everybody has their different ideas or ideals of what a New Year's resolution is. But every new year introduces a new beginning, a time to reflect. Now, you know, we will often, you know, as we approach the end of a year and begin a new year, we'll stop and think about, okay, what happened in 2025? What did I accomplish? Did I do any good? Is there anything that I can look at, and do I need to do differently in the new year? I mean, we all reflect in some fashion or form. But on the average, those who do resolutions, we find that about 75% of those who make a resolution will not keep it after a week. Now, out of those 75%, from the remaining 25%, after 6 weeks, there will be very few that will continue with their resolution. Now, there are exceptions, and some people will follow through with them. But that gives you an idea of the data that's behind making New Year's resolution. Now, they're made for various reasons. Some want to do it to lose weight, exercise, quit smoking, better money management, read the Bible. You know, the list goes on of different things that we are maybe dissatisfied with our lives, and we look ahead and we want to make some changes. And so as we think about the percentage, I don't know where you would have been when you made resolutions, which one you would be. I was usually the top 75 after a week. They just kind of went away. The most part, when we don't fulfill an obligation or we don't fulfill a promise or a commitment, there is some discontentment, dissatisfaction, and we kind of kick ourselves and we thought, oh, what's the use? We kind of give up on the idea. And it's just hard to follow you through. But through the years, there's only one resolution that I've ever kept. In 2001, I made a New Year's resolution to never make a resolution again. To this day, I have kept that promise, that commitment. And it feels good. I was able to fulfill something for once in my life at that time. Now, the Bible does not speak for or against the concept of New Year's resolutions. The resolutions that we make with each other, and sometimes we make them with God, you know, it's a personal thing. And the outcome, of course, determines on the type of commitment that one would have for that. But we know the Bible does speak on our relationship with God. And when we speak to Him, our words have an impact on that relationship. Now, we, among ourselves, we make commitments, we make promises, we follow through. I'm assuming this is for me. Thank you. I say my voice is not used to doing this, so I think it's kind of has a tickle in my throat. But anyhow, it's as we do the resolutions, as we make these commitments and these promises, you know, we form a reputation if we do not follow through with them. Now, Carol asked me to come here this morning. Now, what would have happened if I didn't show up? I think Carol had been upset. You might have been able, which might have, could have been a good thing. Charles would have to do this sermon this morning. You'd have to make some adaptations. But while all that was going on, they would say, "Well, who's this Dan Gray? Why didn't he follow through?" And I'd be forming a reputation among the body of believers here today because I did not follow through on a commitment that I made to come here this morning. And some, we can think about the many different commitments and promises we've made to other people. And hopefully, you that are here this morning are able to say with great confidence that you have a good reputation of following through with those reputations. Your word is solid. Your word means something. Can you remember the day that you go someplace in business? A handshake was a commitment that was binding. You didn't have to sign many contracts to show them that you're serious about what you're saying. But, our word is power. Our word is meaningful. It does have an impact as we share our lives with each other, but even more so when we give and commit ourselves to God. We understand that every day that the Lord has made, in Psalm 118, verse 24, we are to rejoice and be glad in it. Each day is a new year for our Lord. He tells us that we are to rejoice and celebrate with each new day, like we do on New Year's. I'm sorry. There's a great celebrations that went on New Year's morning. A great anticipation the night before. And what the Bible teaches us that we are to look at each day as a new celebration. And the reason is because God has given it to us. One thing that the Bible does say in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 2 through 5, one that makes a promise or a vow to God should not take it lightly. It is crucial that we follow up with what we say and commit our promise to Him. And as we do that, we are able to see how God will respond to us. The author says, "Do not shoot off your mouth or speak before you think. Do not be too quick to tell God what you think He wants you to hear. God is in charge, not you. The less you speak, the better. Overwork makes you restless sleep. Overtalk shows you how foolish you are. When you tell God you will do something, do it now," is what the scriptures say. God takes no pleasure in foolish babbling. Vow it, then do it.
far better not to vow in the first place than to vow and then not pay up. What the author is telling us here, that what we say to God, the commitment that we make, and how we live our lives has an impact in our relationship with God. It's so easy for us to flippantly say something and not follow through. And so often through the years, I've seen Christians who say, well, yeah, I'll do that. Oh, yeah, I know what that is. And then just go off and do something else. I'll also have people come and apologize to me when they didn't follow through in a commitment. I said, you don't need to apologize to me. You need to apologize to God. He's the one that takes note. He's the one that we are responsible to. Setting a goal or several goals at the beginning of a new year can be stimulating, but it is the motivation to keep the resolution that is important. See, when we say, what we say, if we don't have a purpose or a plan, or if we're not motivated or committed in what we're saying before we say it, then it's not going to have any value. Which means that we had to be prepared daily and making sure that what we say is what we mean. Resolutions often fail because there's no motivation to follow through. We do it because maybe we're in a peer pressure, we're in a group, and we just do it because it's fun. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when we do it in our relationship with God, there are consequences. The incentive must come from within, a purpose and a plan. We can't just give him empty words. After months and months of tests, one of our scientists, Thomas Edison, as we know, invented the light bulb. After several months working on it, a publisher or a newsman came up to him and said, "Why do you continue? Why do you continue to search for this project when you have failed so much? Why don't you just give up?" And Thomas Edison's response to this is, you know, he says, "I know there are 9,000 ways that an electric light bulb will not work. Success is almost at my grasp." He didn't give up on his commitment. 9,000 what we would consider failures, but he considered them successes because he knows what not to do. After over 10,000 attempts, Edison successfully invented the light bulb. The point is here is that, you know, we've got to be motivated and equipped to follow through on a commitment that we make. Whether it's a task that is brought before us, or whether it's words that we say we're going to do, it's so important for us to follow through. Sometimes it's easy to give up, not to follow through with what is said, and because there is no substance, there's no purpose or no plan or motivation in what we say. And some of you may know some people that are like that. But we as Christians have to make sure that we're not, because of what the Bible teaches us. We need to always have a purpose and a plan. God has so many plans for us. Psalm 40, verse 5, the psalmist says, "Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare." We have no idea of all the plans that God has, but we do know in the beginning, God, in Genesis 1, God had a plan. He had a purpose. And his word spoke of that plan and that purpose. And he said it was very good. Until his creation was blemished with sin, his purpose or his plan was broken. So many times we have good intentions and plans, but often those plans are altered due to circumstances that we may not have control over, but yet we are not like Thomas Edison, and we don't look at it in a way that will challenge us to continue and to move on. This is a new year. This is a new day. And we are to take each challenge and opportunity that's before us as that very fact. It is important that we think of ways to make those plans that God has made, that we have made in our lives, and we need to make them not a part, but a way of life as we walk and we work and we serve with Him. It's important for us to look at 2026 as not only a new year, but new opportunities that are before us. New Year's resolution is a result of looking back at the previous year and determining what we want to do better. We all are in the business of trying to do things better, to be better. Sometimes people will want to look better. They want better results in the life that they have, in the relationships they have. You know, there's just many things that we look at, and we need to determine and be faithful in that. That is the challenge that we need to put ourselves daily. As I said, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Each day is a new year celebration in our relationship with God. Everything old has passed away, as the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5. Look, new things have come into being. New things are before us. I want you to put your finger on this thought. Now, think back again. Think of the Powerball. I want to develop a new type of Powerball for us this morning. We just celebrated Advent. 4 weeks of preparing for the coming of our Lord. Those 4 weeks remind us of Him and as we recognize in preparing for Christmas. After those 4 weeks, we have Christmas Day, the birth of Jesus. We're starting to build our ball at this point. And as we look at this, we see that Christmas Day reminds us of His birth and the visit of the shepherds. And then we are reminded of the days that followed. Epiphany, the wise men coming to visit Jesus, the child. And as He comes, we also recognize the events that took place between those times when Joseph and Mary took Jesus, the baby Jesus, to Simeon. And he was dedicated at that point before God, and Simeon, of course, recognized who that baby was and celebrated the birth of Jesus. Again, we're building our Powerball with these events that take place, and then the events, as we recognize what they're doing, we are to use them to motivate us, to challenge us. Then we jumped 7 weeks. 7 weeks of Lent to remind us of the suffering, the torture that our Lord and Savior went through, not for Himself, but for us. It challenges us to give up something for ourselves, to constantly remind us of all that Jesus did for us in our lives. Then there's Easter morning, the resurrection of Jesus, the climax of the life that God had intended for us is introduced to us in another way. And this is not the end, but this is the beginning of a new life that He has provided. The ascension and all the power and glory given to the church. That is you and me. This is the Powerball that we are building for ourselves. And as we have this Powerball, we are reminded of, of what authority God has given us and how crucial we, as we speak and our words are, that we will be challenged to be faithful in our walk with Him. That we will realize that this power ball is going to be in our midst at all times. And hopefully from this time on, whenever you hear the word power ball on the news, whenever you hear about what the world has given, you can think of what God has given and how much greater that power ball is that He has provided for us to live our lives and to live it faithfully. A victory that makes us richer than any earthly winning. You know, there may be some degree of envy or wishing or desiring that could win that money. I mean, what would you do with it? But you know, it's not an easy thing to do, but we need to translate that or transfer that into thought, into spirit, and realize that we have a far greater power ball than what the world has to offer. And we've just experienced that through going through Advent, Christmas, and as we all these events are introduced to us, we build this ball and we live it and we keep it before us to help us in our walk with Him. A victory that is embraced with every presence of our Savior who we are reminded of through the action of participating in the Eucharist. Our walk of faith introduces a fresh resolution each day. The power ball keeps us on track, gives us all the riches needed, and experience success. When we ask ourselves each day, what did I accomplish for the Lord? How was my faith reflected in what I did or what I do? We do not need a new year or a new deal to get a fresh start. All we need is a new perspective. And as Christians, each day provides a fresh start when we commit it to God. Our words, our commitments are more than gold, more than anything that's offered in this world. More than what the news tells us about the riches that someone's going to obtain by winning the Powerball. We've already run it. We already have it. It's just at our fingertips, at our grasp. This ball is what motivates us, challenges us, keeps us going in our walk with Christ. And when we recognize God's plan in the beginning, God, and that we are that plan, it's so important for us to live our lives accordingly. And when you tell God you will do something, do it now, as we're told in Ecclesiastes 5. As we'll be participating in communion today, communion is accepting the word of God and making it ours. Ephesians 3 emphasizes the revelation of God's grace to the Gentiles and to the unity of the believers of Christ, highlighting the mystery of the gospel that Paul was called to share, the mystery of the gospel of which we live today, and that we are to share and that we are to commit to on a daily basis. In communion, we are telling God and showing others of our commitment, our resolution to follow Him. I'd say that communion is like tying a string around your finger. It reminds us of who we are in Christ, and it reminds us who is Christ. Because didn't Jesus say, "Do this in remembrance of me"? It is the punch in the power ball that we experience. It is important that we live each day as power ball winners. We're to celebrate each day because each day God has given to us, so we are to rejoice and be glad in it. And what makes it possible for us to do it? We're winners. We won the ultimate the ultimate goal of life that God has given us and that he has planned for us to have. And it's so important for us to grab a hold of it and to keep it for us on a daily basis. And the only way that we can do that is recognize this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice, let us celebrate, and let us be glad in it. This new year, make it a day of rejoicing and be glad. Father, we do thank you for this time that we've had today. We thank you, Father, for just the opportunity to recognize your presence and to worship you. I thank you, Father, for your word and how it challenges us to be faithful in our walk with you. Lord, I just take these words that come from your word and let it motivate us to be faithful on a daily basis. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.